Well, good morning, church. My name is Ryan. If we haven't met before, it is my pleasure to be unpacking God's word with you this morning. And it's also my pleasure to have a printed name tag this week. So thank you. Thank you, team, for being so speedy on that. Let's pray before we dig into God's word further. Heavenly Father, our soul finds no rest until it finds our rest in you. And so please, Lord, help us to listen to your word well and help us to find rest in you alone. Help us to find rest in your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, where do you look for rest? Often I think we associate rest with a break. With the holidays, that's when we rest, isn't it? And the summer holidays are often the best break of the year. We stop work for two or so weeks. We take a break from some good ministries like school scripture, like gospel teams. We stop our extracurriculars, you know, our sport, the kids' music practice, that sort of thing. The summer holidays are when we get to stop worrying about tomorrow's itinerary. Stop worrying about upcoming work or church responsibilities. It's when we just get to melt into the couch for a moment. Often we associate rest with a break, and so we might look to the holidays for rest. If we look at the next slide, that's what it might look like, right? Or at least that's what the ads show us. Next slide, please. This is an Airbnb ad. Travel companies and house rentals, they advertise for us the chance to unwind, to relax, to get some rest. But is this where we should look for rest? Because the holidays aren't always a break, are they? Sometimes they're really busy. You have that Christmas gathering, followed by that family catch-up, followed by the trip somewhere else, and so on until you haven't actually had a day of rest yet. And sometimes the break is taxing. You might be trying to entertain the kids for 6 weeks straight. Or you end up doing all the other work that you've been putting off all this time, the housework, the life admin, all those extra things in life. And even if your holiday has been a break, well, that rest doesn't last. Come March, you'll be saying, like me, gee, I could go for a holiday. I'm really looking forward to a break. The Easter long weekend can't come fast enough. The ads overpromise and underdeliver, and I'm as shocked as you are. So where do you look for rest? Rest that lasts. Rest that endures through the busyness, through the challenges, even through the suffering. I've loved digging into Psalm 62 in preparation for today because it is a wonderful reminder to us of where we find our rest. So have your Bibles open in Psalm 62. Let's jump in. We are at our first point. I'm at rest in God alone. Look with me, verses 1 and 2. I'm at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. David has found rest. He rests in God, and he rests in no one and nothing else other than God. But what actually is rest? We've bandied that word about a bit. How do you define it? Is it just taking a break from work, or does it entail something a bit more? Well, let's start with another question. What does David's rest look like? Well, it looks like finding refuge in God. God is his rock, his salvation, his stronghold. God is the reason he will never be shaken. Ultimately, God is his source of salvation and protection. Now, I'm not sure when this psalm was written, but ultimately that doesn't matter, does it? David is secure whether he's king or whether he's on the run from Saul. David's secure whether he has wealth or whether he's a shepherd in the field. He's secure whether he has armies behind him or just a sling. He's secure because God has got him. It reminds me a bit of Psalm 23. God is my shepherd. He provides all I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Even when suffering and hardship comes, I know that he is with me. Resting in God looks peaceful and tranquil. As a great Australian philosopher once put it, has the serenity. And you might notice how repetitive David is in verses 1 and 2. David basically says the one thing three different ways. That repetition is important for us because it drills into us that a mighty fortress is our God. At the end of last year, the YouTube algorithm started recommending some new videos to me. It thought I would like videos about famous tornadoes in the US. And I think I've got a photo on the next slide. Yep. I don't know why the algorithm thought this, but it was right, like it usually is. I do like them. And these videos have helped me to appreciate two things. Firstly, I need to stay away from Oklahoma. Every biggest, most destructive or dangerous tornado happens in Oklahoma. And I know I've shattered some dreams there. We all want to visit Oklahoma, don't we? But better to be safe and just avoid it. And secondly, and more importantly, tornadoes are violent and they're ferocious. They pick up cars and they toss them like a leaf in the wind. And after 2 kilometres, they'll fling them out as this twisted cube of metal. They'll take brick homes and they'll flatten them, like on the next slide. That used to be a brick house. They leave only a clean concrete slab behind. They sound like this freight train as they rumble through neighborhoods and destroying everything in their path. It truly is a frightening thing to watch. So now imagine you've decided to visit Oklahoma. The allure was too great for you. And now there's this tornado that's bearing down on you. Where would you try to hide? Because you do have to hide. Standing out in the open is the wrong decision. And there's no way on earth that you can outrun it, either by foot or in a car. It's just too fast. So where do you go? Well, hiding in a home is also the wrong decision. Because even though it feels well built, and even if you feel secure in it, the tornado can and will destroy that home and will most likely take you with it. No, the only sensible place to hide is in a storm shelter. Next slide. It's that refuge in the earth. No matter how strong the tornado is, you will not be shaken by it. That storm shelter, that is your salvation, your stronghold, your refuge. It is your hiding place. You put all of your trust in it to deliver you from the destructive power of the tornado. It's where you feel secure from the storm. God is David's stronghold, David's hiding place. David can rest securely and safely in God. But why does David even need shelter? Why is he describing God this way? Well, firstly, we all put our trust in something to make us secure. Life is best lived when we feel secure. And for David, the temptation would be to turn to other things for security. Don't turn to God. Turn to your strength, your cleverness, your possessions, your position. Turn to them to make you feel secure. And we do the exact same. We turn to our strength, our cleverness, our job, our money, our house. We turn to our friendships, our family, our reputation. We even turn to our good deeds to make us feel secure. But David's saying, no, I don't trust in those things for my security. I trust in God alone. He is the only one who can provide the security and the rest that I need. And secondly, there are things in life that do make us feel insecure, that may even push us to find our security outside of God. Look with me at verses 3 and 4. How long will you threaten a man Will all of you attack as if he were a leaning wall or a tottering fence? They only plan to bring him down from his high position. They take pleasure in lying. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. David here is describing wicked people. People who would destroy someone because they look like an easy target. Destroy someone because they inhabit this position of status and authority. Destroy someone because they enjoy lying and they enjoy cursing them. People who would seek to even destroy me and you and David. Wicked people like this would give David and us a reason to feel insecure and may even push us in our sinfulness to find security in other things. Turn to your strength, cleverness, possessions, position. Turn to those things to secure yourself and ward off the wicked. But our response ought to be, I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. So what is rest? Well, I think rest is the peace that comes with being secure. The peace that comes from trusting in the right person or the right thing to make you feel secure. I picture it like when you melt into the couch. Yes, I did have a photo. Thank you. Rest is that feeling after you've had a long day and you're dead tired and you just get a moment to sit down. You feel secure that you can stop for a bit. You don't need to worry about the next thing to do. You get some peace, some rest. And David, he isn't resting like this because God keeps him from all harm. And we don't rest like this because God keeps us from all harm. We heard that in 1 Peter 4. That as Christians, we face fiery trials and ordeals. But he's resting because of Psalm 23. Even though David walks through the valley of the shadow of death, that is, through the darkest places and the worst suffering, even being close to death itself, God does not abandon him. Your strength, your cleverness, your possessions, your position, they will all fail, but you, Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me because I can rest secure that no matter what, you've got me. So at this point, let's pause for a moment and reflect. Do you trust in God alone? How much of your security is wrapped up in other things? Your strength, your cleverness, your job, your house, your money, your friendships, your family, even feeling like being a good person, even feeling like you do good things. One of the most tragic parts of these tornado videos is seeing a monster tornado rip through financially poor neighborhoods. Places that have no storm shelters, not even a well-built home. They only have a mobile home standing between them and the storm. And I think, thank you. These mobile homes are glorified demountables, if you remember them from school. No solid foundation, no solid walls. At best, it is an illusion of protection and security against the storm. It's tragic seeing these people with no adequate shelter, with no hiding place from these tornadoes, with no security, to see their home shredded like matchsticks. Friends, we can't build on two different foundations. And these other things, they're like a mobile home at best. They provide, at best, an illusion of security, but provide no true hiding place. We must rest in God alone. So David is at rest in God alone, or is he? Because verse 5 starts with the command, rest in God alone. What's going on here? We're at our second point, rest in God alone, and read with me verses 5 through 7. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. Salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in my God. Doesn't that sound like verses 1 and 2? It seems to drive home the same point that David already knows. And yet, he's commanding himself to do what he's already doing, and he's telling himself what he already knows. What's going on? Why? Well, how often do you need a reminder? There are some things you just know and you do. I brush my teeth twice a day because I know I need to do that and I don't need to be reminded of it. But I also know that I need to floss once a day. And I currently need to go back to the dentist and I know exactly what they're going to tell me. Ryan, you need to floss once a day. And I know that I'll go home from the dentist and I'll floss that night and I'll floss the next night and for 2 solid weeks, every night. But then I'll have a couple of long nights. Nights where I'm tired and I just want to go to bed. Nights where flossing doesn't seem like the priority. And in the space of a month, I'll be back to where I started, knowing I should floss, but failing to do it. There are some things we know and we still need to be reminded of. And there are a bunch of things in the Christian life that are like that as well, aren't there? For me, again and again and again and again, I'm reminded of that question, do you pray? Because I know I should pray. I know I should want to relate to my Heavenly Father, to spend time with Him, thanking Him for His gifts to me, to repent of my sins, to ask Him for all I need, to ask for His will to be done and not mine, to ask for more and more people to come to know His Son, Jesus, to find their security and their rest in Him. I should want to do that. I know how important it is to do that. And I know that I can do that. But do I? I am too often prayerless. I know I should pray. And I need to be reminded to pray. What's the thing for you in your Christian walk? What do you know but need to be reminded of again and again? Because David knows that God is his only source of security. David does rest in God, but he also needs to keep reminding himself to keep resting in God, to not be taken off course by to trust in something else. And our hearts are bent away from God. They're bent towards these other things. Our hearts keep pulling us to trust in strength, in cleverness, in possessions, in position. We need to keep reminding ourselves, rest in God alone. For my hope comes from Him and Him alone. Verse 8, David exhorts the people to do as he is doing. Verse 8, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge. Trust in God. Pour out your hearts to Him in prayer. He is our refuge. Rest means trusting in God for your security. And it also means coming to God again and again and again and again in prayer. Coming to Him with your adoration, your confession, your thankfulness, your requests. Rest means leaning on and depending on God. How often I say that I trust in God and that I rest in Him, and yet I don't pray. And I show that actually my trust is in something else, in my strength, my cleverness, my possessions, my position. David lands this psalm in verses 9 to 12, and he lands it with 3 common things that we trust in instead of God. And then there's a final word on God, a final reminder of why we can rest in Him. Firstly, verses 9 and 10. Common people are only a vapor. Important people an illusion. Together on a scale, they weigh less than a vapor. Place no trust in oppression or false hope in robbery. If wealth increases, don't set your heart on it. David mentions three things here. People, power, and wealth. I contemplated possessions, but no, I think wealth suits better. And you shouldn't rest in any of those things. Verse 9, trusting in people for your security is a mirage. It looks like a real source of security and hope, but it's nothing of substance. It never delivers on what it promises. Verse 10, don't trust in your power to oppress others or take what you want from them. Don't trust in your wealth either, even if it's gained by honest means. And even though he doesn't provide reasons in verse 10, I think we all know and we've all seen how these three common things don't actually provide the rest that we desire. Relationships don't provide lasting rest. They can sour. Those close to you can become your enemy. Or they can be separated. People move house, sometimes far away. And they may not be with you when you need them most. Or they can be severed. Sickness and death come for us all. And that brings the ultimate breakdown in relationships. Relationships don't provide lasting rest. Power doesn't bring lasting rest. It fades. The power in your job, in your social circles, doesn't last forever. And it fails. Your power can't fix every problem, and it won't keep you from every harm. Power doesn't provide lasting rest. And wealth doesn't provide lasting rest. And this might be the biggest trap for us, because money and possessions look like they provide us with security. They promise this assurance that we can care for and provide for ourselves and those that we love. And as cost of living pressures increase, as I keep hearing about it in the news, what do we hear from our world? What do we hear even in our own hearts? You just need a bit more money. Then you can feel secure. But it can all be gone in a moment. Through a financial crash, through a house or a bushfire, through theft. Our wealth can be here one day and it can be gone the next as moth and rust destroy it. Wealth doesn't provide lasting security. And I think we often feel this most when suffering enters the picture for us. When you suffer, when you see others suffer, it strips away this veneer of security that we have in these things like people, power, wealth. It shows just how fleeting they are and how insecure we are if we try to find our rest in them. And I think this is where verses 11 and 12 come in, our final part of the psalm, because they end reminding us who our God is, that we can only rest in him alone. Look with me, verses 11 and 12. God has spoken once. I have heard this twice. Strength belongs to God, and faithful love belongs to you, Lord, for you repay each according to his works. Unlike people, power, wealth, our God is strong. He does what he wants. And unlike people, power, wealth, our God is faithfully loving. He loves us through what he does. And verse 12 should bring us peace, and it should remind us of grace. God repays each according to his works. That means the wicked who stand against God's people won't get away with it. They will face God's perfect justice. And that means we don't need to exact judgment ourselves. We don't wait and hope for justice to be done in this world. We trust in God that vengeance is his, that he will repay. We can live at peace knowing every wrong will be righted. But we are sinners It's not just other people who do wrong. I do wrong. I fail to do what is right. I fail to pray. I fail to thank God. I fail to confess my sin. Boy, howdy, this is a terrifying thing if we don't have grace. And so we remember what Christ has done for us. He lived the perfect life that I never could. He died the death that I deserved. And he rose to new everlasting life. So instead of judgment, I now receive life and peace in Christ. I receive rest for my soul, a secure hiding place in God. The rest that I've longed for and that is only made possible by Jesus and what he has done for me. And that is the wonderful promise for all of us, that if we trust in God, if he is our hiding place, if we trust in Jesus and what he has done, he becomes our rest. And we expectantly wait for that eternal rest to come once he's judged all people and he's called us all home. Peace and grace. That's the reminder in verse 12. That's where we finish our psalm. So where do you look for rest? The only rest that lasts through all seasons is found in God and God alone. Not in our strength, our cleverness, our possessions, our position, in God alone. Have you found rest in him? And do you, like me, need to keep reminding yourself to rest in him and him alone? Let's pray that we would rest in him this week. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are our strong, faithful, and loving God. Thank you that you give us rest. We are sorry for how we turn to other things for our rest. Help us this week to rest in you alone. Thank you that Jesus has made this rest possible. In his name we pray. Amen.